We said last week that John was the only gospel writer who was an eyewitness. It dawned on me last week. I've been studying the Bible for a little while, and that was a surprise to me. I checked it out. Sure, that's what it is. So anyway, John was an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus, and the writer John is just gives the facts. This is the way it happened. Here's what this and this and this, and then he admitted that as he went along, he didn't know what was going on, as most of them did. They didn't understand, and they were surprised that the body wasn't there. You know, and I think of things, and you have too, that times when Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again." And so his body's gone, they say, "What happened?" Well, that's what we find here. And we find, first of all, that there are some puzzled disciples. These disciples are ladies. They received the news in verses 1 and 2. See, what Mary Magdalene saw. Mary Magdalene, we'll talk about her a little bit, but she came, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, she came early, before dark, while it was still dark. And it was the first day of the week, so that would be Sunday, right? Like today. Mary Magdalene was devoted to Jesus. You say, why that special devotion? And she was very devoted. Well, she had been delivered from demon possession. She had seven demons. Luke 8:2 tells us. And Jesus took the demons out of her, and his love filled her. She was at the cross. John 19:25. She was there with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, her sister-in-law, and Mary Magdalene. And she watched. She was there when they were closing the tomb. This was quite a while afterward. And, I mean, like a couple of hours. And she saw that the tomb was closed. They saw roll this big stone over there. Keep everybody out. And that was in Matthew 27:60. But now, she saw that the stone had been rolled away, probably as she went there. And she went with some other ladies, Mark chapter 1. She no doubt was thinking about, what about that stone, that big stone? I saw 10 men pushing that thing together. How can we get it out? But she saw the stone had been rolled away, and now they're going to anoint the body of the Lord. So that's what she saw. Now verse 2 tells us what she said. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's John. We've seen this before. John never mentions his own name. He's, what's his name? And he says, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He said to them, she said to him, "They have taken away my Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Now, she had not looked in. She just saw the stone rolled away and things open. And then she said, the body's not there. She came to a conclusion. Well, why would anybody open a tomb anyway? Have something in mind. And so she assumed that they had taken the body away. And so she ran. Ran? Yeah, it was a long run. The tomb was just outside the city. It wasn't very far to run. She found Peter and John, what's his name, together. And she said, "They've taken the Lord." Now, they have taken the Lord. Do you suppose she had anybody in mind? Probably. If otherwise, she might have said, "The body's gone." You know, No, they have taken it. I wonder if maybe she didn't think the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, because they're the ones who had him crucified. And so it's they. They did it. Well, then she said, and we do not know where they put it. Who's we? Well, as I mentioned a minute ago, it included other women who were with her. In Mark 16:1, that there were other women that came along with Mary. But Mary Magdalene was the one who came. So they received the news. And then they respond to the news. That is, Peter and John received the news. They respond to that news in chapter 3, chapter 20, verses 3 to 10. Now, the first response was, Peter and John start for the tomb. Why not? Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, whoever he is, and they were going to the tomb. Now, that's a logical response from Peter. Remember, Peter, well, I'm going to do something. He's a doer, getting things done. And I'll go out there and see for myself. Fun. And besides, and that's Peter's personality. That's what he is. Remember, they were on the Sea of Galilee, and they were hanging on to whatever they could find in the boat. And Peter got out and started walking. That's Peter. Yeah, I'll get out there and do it. And he said to Jesus, I'll never make anybody stumble. I'll never stumble, and I wouldn't stumble anybody else. And then he says, I'll die for you. I won't deny you. I'll die for you. Well, that's Peter. No, he said, all right, let's go. Let's go find out what this is. And then John arrives first. Peter's in a hurry, but Peter is older than John, and youth will be served. So the younger John ran, and he was there before Peter. And so he, John, stooping down and looking in, saw, general word for see, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Not impetuous like Peter. He said, wonder what that is. And Peter finally caught up and went through there. So he didn't go in because of defilement possible or whatever. But then Simon Peter came, following him, went into the church and saw the clothes lying there and the cloth that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Now, you can gloss over that, but I think there's something more there. We'll see. So Peter entered first, 6 and 7, and says, Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief and so forth around his head, lying on the cloth, lying by itself. And then someone has suggested this, and I like it, and it's still true whether this says it or not, but the napkin, they say, symbolized when the master of the house was having a meal, his family and whoever was there, and he was having the meal, and maybe he would get up for some reason to help people or whatever. And when he got up, he would just take his cloth and lay it down. Oh, no, he would fold it up. He was coming back, he'd fold it up, lay it there, so that the servants knew not to bother his plate. I like that. I hate for anybody to bother my plate. If you're a waitress and I'm coming in, Melanie will say, don't bother him. He's a growling dog. I eat everything that's on the plate. Anyway, he would get up for some reason. And then he would fold it over there. But if he was finished, he would take the piece of the thing and then throw it down. That's it. I'm done. Well, here, the napkin has been folded. What does that mean? I'm coming back. Is that cute? I like that. It's the napkin, and you know, the people didn't do that. He did it. I'm convinced that he did that. And so he's saying to them, here, now, I'll be back. He'll be back. Well, that's Peter's first response, to see it and figure out what it is. Then there's a further response. That other disciple, what's his name, who came to the tomb first, also went in. He saw, and this is a word for seeing clearly, seeing details. He saw, he perceived, and he believed. Boy, there's one thing to say, oh yeah, I see that. It's something else to say, and I believe it. He believed it. And it's not something about salvation. If you believe, you have eternal life. But he's talking about what he had seen there. He saw, oh yes, he said he was going to rise. That's it. He believed. And then, for as yet, he said, they did not know the scriptures that might that he might rise again from the dead. But he remembered what Jesus had taught. Now, I think the reason for their ignorance was they didn't know the Old Testament. It was available there. Old Testament was full of the resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection. And yet they didn't put it all together for some reason. And John alone, in this context, must have put the events together and said, that's it. He said he was going to go. He's gone. Now, of course, the tomb wasn't open for Jesus to get out. You know that. Stones don't bother him. The cloth didn't bother him. It was not open to let him out. It was open to let others in. So, John had it figured out. Now, the final response, and this is a little misunderstanding in my mind. Then the disciples went away to their own homes. Oh, he'd rather go. Well, fine. But they were puzzled, and I'm puzzled why they left. But then there's a perplexed disciple, verses 11 to 18. Mary and her royal messengers, verses 11 to 14. Mary's anguish is in verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Well, apparently for the first time, they saw something. What did they see? I want to see too. And so she stooped down, looked in. The disciples were gone home, but she wasn't satisfied. She stayed there. And she was there all the time. But she wasn't satisfied with that. She stayed at the tomb. And then she wanted to see Peter and John, see what they had seen. Apparently, John didn't share what he found out, what he remembered to her. So there she was, trying to figure it out herself. So in verses 12 and 13, she has to answer a question. She saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now, the angels know what's going on, and they know that Jesus has risen. But see, they're leading Mary to the answer. I like that. You can tell people all you want, but if you lead them to say, oh, then the light comes on, you know? That's what, I'm a teacher. at least I was a long time ago. Now, I love to teach. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm a teacher. I like to see people hear something. And then, if I see a frown, I have a chance to say, now, lead right on. You remember this? Remember this? How about this? Oh, yeah. And the light comes on. Great. That's what he's looking for here. They're asking her a question. Why are you weeping? Tell us. They're going to get her to come to the understanding. And I think that there's an old adage that says, one who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. See, you tell them, you say, oh, I don't know. But if you lead them step by step, then comes the light. So she said to them, because they have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they've laid him. See, that's a good reason to be weeping. But the cure for it is to see Jesus. I don't see Jesus. That's why I'm crying. Well, if I see Jesus, I can stop crying. That's what it's about. So, that's next. So Mary's apathy. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. See, she was not interested in seeing anyone but Jesus. So her problem's not solved yet. Why does she not recognize him? Well, Bible Knowledge Commentary suggests maybe his appearance had changed. Maybe she had a spiritual blindness, like in Luke 24, when the people on the way to Emmaus, their eyes were holding, King James says, so that they couldn't see him. They didn't know who he was. Or maybe tears in her eyes, whatever. Mary didn't recognize him. So then Mary and her resurrected master, her despair, verse 15, Jesus said to her, she's still not knowing who he was, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Again, leading her to understand what her problem was. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if they have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Well, she was separated from Jesus physically. Didn't know where he was. And this was the last place that she had seen Jesus. See this? I've lost Jesus. Well, did you ever think of this? That somebody said, well, I've lost my glasses. Happens to me. What's somebody say? Well, where did you see him last? Yeah, that's the way. Find out where he was. Well, I was over here. Anyway, that's what she's doing. What are you looking for? She was separated from him physically, and the last place she had seen him was there when they put him in the tomb, and so she thought this would be the best place to find him. Does that mean anything? Well, suppose, have you ever been separated from Jesus spiritually? I mean, out of fellowship? And you say, how do you get back to him? Well, Revelation 2:5 tells us, remember from where you have fallen and return. Get back where you were and start again. So she found him where she left him. So can we. So he called her by name. And he does call by name. Called her by name. He calls his sheep by name and they know his voice. John 10. So they follow him. She called his name. And she said, he said to her, this is her delight now. Jesus said to her, Mary? And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is teacher. Her long wait is over. It's been a while. A long wait. But it's worth it. She may have tried, one of the commentaries, she may have tried to embrace him. No. She tried to hug him. That's it. It's like, oh, embrace you. No. Tried to hug him. Maybe she attempted to. And then he said, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. See, clinging to him would detain him. I don't think it would be any kind of sin to him or whatever, but detain him. His next step is in completing his mission is to return to his Father. So, I don't want you to cling to me, but I do want you to do something. Well, what? go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Wow. Hear that? He, back in middle of the gospel, he elevated the church from servants to friends. I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Now look what it is. Now he elevates them to brothers. We're part of the family. And he's not ashamed to call them brothers, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Brothers, go to my brothers. So Mary and her resurrected Lord's men, that is her disciples, his disciples. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Wow. Mother's Day, Easter, a lot of things are rolled in here. But ladies, listen. We saw Mary Magdalene at the beginning, one of the least likely people to be a messenger of God. Oh, she was a terrible woman. She had seven demons, and everybody knew her. Why would you use her, of all people? Well, the important thing is, she was God's messenger. She had been befriended. Here's one. Here was a lady who was outcast of society. And she had been befriended by Mary, the mother of Jesus, by Salome, the mother of James and John. She was at the cross with these other ladies. They didn't shun her. Ladies helping the lady. And she became now a messenger of God. She was at the cross while he was dying. She went to the tomb early Sunday morning. She stayed at the tomb while Peter and John went home. She was available. You know what that's called? That's called faithfulness. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's it. Faithful. Someone has said that availability is the greatest ability there is. Now, God has a place for each one of us. I didn't say all. You know the difference between all and each one? A friend of mine was sitting in a ball game, and someone said, I'd like to have a quarter for all these people. And he said, you'd have a quarter. That's all the people, a quarter for all of them. But if you had a quarter for each one, then you'd have a lot of quarters. Well, that's it. God has called all of us, but he's also called each one of us. And he's called us, that means then you're not left out. Mary wasn't left out. She was the messenger of God. And then while she stayed at the tomb, she was there all through the whole thing. And each one has that same relationship to Jesus Christ. I can't do that. I know you can't. Of course you can't. I can't do that. Then just attempt what God has called you to do. First, you have to find out, right? You have to find out what he's called you to do, what he's equipped you to do, and what he's supplied for you to do. That's it. No matter the background, you're now in a place, you're one of the brothers, sisters of the Lord. Serve him. Mary Magdalene did. She was there. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy every day. Because the Lord is still risen.